This time every week, we are joined by Lisa Lanier, our official attorney of this program. She goes inside several legal cases for Lawyer Up. Today is no different. We welcome her to this program. Hello, Lisa. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. I hope you guys are.
Doing real well, thank you. Good docket today, and it starts with a couple of NFL stories. One is about a former NFL quarterback, Bernie Kosar, who used to play for the Cleveland Browns and is now part, or was part, of the Cleveland Browns radio broadcast team. Very interesting story here. He reached a deal with a company called Big Play. They do some things where they organize him doing personal appearances, things like that, and sports betting. And at one point, this is the crux of this lawsuit here. He's suing them now because on New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2022, Big Play, his partner, said that he needed to personally bet on the Cleveland Browns game for the Browns to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, which I believe they did. I'm not positive, but I believe they did. And he did. He bet $19,000 of his own money on the Browns to beat the Steelers. But when he did that, he broke the rules of his employer, the Cleveland Browns and the NFL, because you are not allowed to bet on a game that you broadcast. And he kept trying to make sure with Big Play. He said, you know, is this all right? Can I do this? Are we okay?
It's not really my money. You're going to cover this.
You're going to cover it, that kind of thing. But no matter what the case, once he bet on that game, the Browns said, hey, we love you, but we got to let you go because the NFL does not allow that. So now he's lost the job he really liked, which was broadcasting for the Cleveland Browns radio team. So he's suing for over $600,000, the Big Play company. Do we have all this right here, Lisa? And does he have a chance to win? I think they hoodwinked him. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think they did. And the weird thing was that this Big Play company did seem to be in cahoots with the Browns in terms of that this was okay to do. It was just a publicity, just an advertisement.
Yes.
He was basically, you know, placing a bet that he didn't even really make himself, you know, of his own volition, just to show that now, hey, it's legal in Ohio to play sports bets, you know, and so they were trying to publicize that. And it sounded like it really went a lot deeper. There were a lot of personal conflicts between Kosar and the podcast production company that basically runs the radio show. And there were accounts that came up in this about this guy coming up and screaming at him while he's trying to broadcast and stuff. So it sounded like it went a lot deeper than this. But yeah, it did sound like, but it's a big deal, you know, in sports that you're not, if you're affiliated with a team, that you're not supposed to bet on that team or against that team.
Right.
And he clearly did. So I don't know, you know, if he didn't get any of it in writing and it was all just, you know, wink, wink, you can place this bet and it'll all be okay. He may have a problem recovering his damages.
Yeah, that's going to be the issue. And the poor guy, he wants to be the voice of the Cleveland
Browns.
He's a
hero in Cleveland.
They love him
in
Cleveland.
You know, his blood pumps Brown, you know.
Yeah.
He's played for them, and he's been a sportscaster for them for a long time, their voice. And
I know.
Yeah, he's very upset about it.
It makes me worry for our very own Biggie because he's a sports gambler, and he's going to take batting practice with the Philadelphia Phillies after the All-Star break.
That's right.
That's right.
He's warming up right now. Our friend Whit Merrifield, who plays for the Phillies, who are front-running in the National League, going to have Biggie up, and he's going to lead the team in batting practice out there at Citizens Bank.
Mm-hmm. Run the bases at the end of the game.
Sure, yeah.
Sure.
Well, maybe one.
that might be a slow job.
He's going to do one.
More like just home play.
Yeah.
It's going to be very Babe Ruth at the end of his career.
Yeah. A wave to the crowd.
Put him in the do they still have a golf cart up there?
Put him in the cart.
Put me with the relief pitcher?
Yeah. Take him around. Let him go. We're turning off the lights here, fans. fans, please exit the premises. The other NFL story today is, and this has been, I think, brewing for a long time. You know, for years, DirecTV had something called the NFL Sunday Ticket Package. And now YouTube TV, for the last couple of seasons, has had the NFL Sunday Ticket. They charge fans $449 a year for the package, unless you buy early and you can buy it for $349.
Nice.
I am personally familiar with the NFL Sunday Ticket.
You know the
ticket.
Pricing.
Conflict.
Okay.
Very much so.
I am well aware of the NFL Sunday ticket. Uh-huh. Okay.
I don't think that was good for DirecTV to lose that.
Oh, no. No, that hurt. That hurt DirecTV. Oh, yeah. There is a class action lawsuit challenging the legality of the NFL Sunday ticket package, period, because I guess people, and it's been going on now since 2015, because the package of games outside a local market are not shown nationally on other networks. So DirecTV, or now YouTube TV, says, well, okay, I'm a Broncos fan. This is exactly what I do. I'm a Broncos fan, so I get their games. And the class action lawsuit says that's not fair to offer it only for payment, basically. So what's the deal here? I've heard grumblings about this for a long time, Lisa, that you need to make those games available to everyone or no one except the local markets. What are your thoughts on this case?
This is it's a really complicated antitrust lawsuit, and it started way back in 2015. And at that point, and back in 2017, after a couple of years of litigation, the judge dismissed it and said, you don't have a case. But then it was appealed, the plaintiffs appealed it, and they won. And so now it's back to, it's going to go to a jury trial. So it's going to be a question for the jury whether this arrangement violates antitrust laws. And the idea, I think, is that, you know, these games are broadcast locally for free in your market.
Right.
And but then, like you were saying, if you want to see one, you know, out of market, you've got to pay this big price when you should be able to access it some other way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's their theory. But, you know, every major sports league has some kind of out of market package that they sell. A lot of sports do it differently, like NBA and, you know, the Major League Baseball will actually do like just a team specific and it's cheaper, you know, that you don't have to buy this whole big package, but you can just buy a team specific smaller package. So it'll be interesting to see. And the NFL has a history of when it gets close to it's looking like something's going to go to a jury, it's going to, you know, they bail and they settle. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, over and over and over again, they've settled almost every major lawsuit against them recently.
Yeah.
And so, and it may be, you know, if they can get out of this one, if it starts to look bad for them, it may be smart to do that, because this antitrust class action allows for treble damages, which means triple. So they could end up having to pay $21 billion if they lose. Yeah, if they lose. So that's huge. You know, so if they can get out of that cheaper, they may do a cost benefit, because it's really kind of anybody's guess whether the jury will, which way they will go.
Mm-hmm.
One thing the judge was commenting on recently is it's just so confusing. I think the judge thinks that the jury is just, their brains are scrambled by it all, because and there's been so much testimony, and it's just gotten, they've overcomplicated it.
Well, let me ask you this, just to put it in simple terms. Now, again, I want this to continue. I like being able to see out-of-market games. What is wrong with what they're doing? You know, if I say, okay, this game is going to be broadcast in Denver and Las Vegas because the Raiders are playing the Broncos, but if you want to see it in Florida or North Carolina or New York, you have to pay a certain amount. What is wrong with that?
Well, you know, under antitrust laws, you are not supposed to have a monopoly where you have this exclusive control over something that you can jack up the price, and you're the only entity on the planet that can control that, and you make sure that that stays that way, you know. And so that's kind of the crux of what antitrust is about. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, look, I don't want all those other games. I shouldn't have to pay that big price.
Mm-hmm.
I just am trying to catch this one game, or, you know, that sort of thing. And it's something that is typically available for free, you know, in that market. If you were in that market, you'd be able to get it.
Right.
So why is this one entity able? But, I mean, it's not an obvious win. It's really going to be a close call for the jury, and it'll be really interesting to see if the NFL lets it go to the jury, since they don't usually like to do that.
Yeah.
I like that Lisa Trustbuster busts case.
Yeah.
She blew you out of the water with antitrust.
Is it possible, if the NFL loses or settles, is it possible we could get these games
a bonanza for fans?
Yeah, could it be good for me?
Exactly. Might be saving you $349 a year.
No, I'd appreciate that. That'd be very nice.
Yeah.
YouTube TV, by the way, pays the NFL $2 billion a year to do that.
Yeah.
And then they charge their customers.
Then they charge. $449. And then they get money for the commercials.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's gravy on top of gravy.
The money that the NFL makes.
But they could do game by game, couldn't they?
And that just would
say,
be nice.
And say, hey, look,
be nice.
I mean, pay-per-view, I know it's old school, but I mean,
Yeah.
$8, $10 for a game.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
They might make more money doing it that way.
Because some days.
And you get more eyes on the commercials.
Well, you're right. And like, I'm a Broncos fan, okay? Sometimes they're on Monday night or Sunday night, so I don't really utilize my.
But impact. You don't care about the Texans and the Colts.
Right. I would but for fantasy purposes.
Oh, shit.
You know, for fantasy purposes, sometimes, let's say I've got the Colts quarterback. I want to watch the Colts and the Texans.
All right. That's on you.
Okay. That's how it is. We'll leave it at that. The antitrust.
And don't think the NFL doesn't take that into account, fantasy football.
Oh,
people
it's huge.
Having to watch every game.
Of course. That's how NFL, I think, has really grown so much. It's a game I wouldn't have cared about 20 years ago between the Browns and the Texans.
Do we know what YouTube, what the subscription is, number-wise?
I'm not positive. But if they pay $2 billion
and they're charging... I think it's probably similar. Yeah, it's probably similar.
Yes.
Damn.
Okay. The next story comes from a celebrity named Alexander Morris. Now, you probably don't know that name. He's the lead singer of the Four Tops. Not the original.
Not the
original Four
Tops. Current.
But the current Four Tops, a classic soul and R&B band. And he, at age 53, went to Absentian Oakland Hospital in Warren, Michigan. And he's suing for racial discrimination because when he went in, he said, "I'm short of breath. I have a heart issue. I need to be treated. And I'm Alexander Morris. I'm the lead singer of the R&B singing group, the Four Tops." And they said to him, "Right."
Sure.
Sure you are. And
you were Four Top?
You were Four Top. Nobody believes that. We don't believe that for 1 minute.
You might be the fifth or sixth top.
Come on now. And he goes, "No, seriously, I'm the lead singer of the Four Tops." And they went, "Doubtful."
Sure, Jan.
Right. But the problem was they told him to, what, like sit his ass down and sit right over there. And then they wound up putting him in a straitjacket.
Yeah, they restrain him.
And restraining him and giving a mental evaluation. And he said this was racial. In fact, his manager said, "Yeah, this is a racial element to it." Because and at the end, they did apologize to him and treated him for his shortness of breath and his heart issue. But he seems to have a pretty good case here, Lisa. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, and he's not just, you know, kind of reaching when he's saying that it was racial, because they said stuff to him like, "Sit your black ass down."
Yes, that was it.
And,
yes,
you know, that's right. Pretty racial, you know.
Yes, right. That's right.
So, and he was actually having a heart attack. He had such a significant heart attack. It damaged his heart so severely that he's now on a transplant list. So, I mean, he was having a big heart attack, and they weren't treating him for that. They were treating him as if he was a psych patient. So that's what he got more and more agitated, because they were like, "No, we're not going to evaluate you for a heart attack. We're going to send you over here to psych, and you're going to wait for a psych workup." And finally, his wife arrived, and they were, you know, realized that she's, "Okay, my God, they've got him in restraints. They're not treating him." And she gets to the crux of it, that what started this was that they didn't believe who he was. So she showed him some videos, and they were like, "Oh, my God, take the restraints off."
And, Lord. Guy can sing. Guy's pretty good. He can carry it too.
Yeah, have you heard him sing, "Baby, I Need Your Lovin'"?
Why in the world?
Should have shown him his stage work.
What were they thinking?
His dance moves.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, dance right here, and we'll treat you. What were they thinking, Lisa? That makes no sense.
You know, I mean, people, you know, make, unfortunately, judgments, you know, and about people based on their appearance. Maybe he looked, you know, he was having a heart attack. Maybe he looked disheveled, you know, and I don't know any. And it was, there was a racial motivation there, you know, and it was, I mean, because they, you know, they said some pretty ugly stuff to him.
Well, yeah.
And so I think they just, you know, they were, and they got it that they, you know, this was a really insulting thing when they realized their mistake and they were apologizing. They gave him a $25 gift card.
They did.
That's right.
That's the last.
I mean, to a hospital?
So yeah. The key is he's got, I mean, aside from, you know, I think he has a case in terms of the race discrimination. He may have a case if the delay in treating the heart attack allowed for additional damage to his heart.
For your pleasure, the Four Tops.
That's music.
Get that man a catheter.
Full disclosure, that's not the man in question here.
No.
That's the original Four Tops.
Original, yeah.
Even still, that is just ridiculous.
But was it a real straitjacket? I mean, it's very One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah. I mean, shocking.
You know, I don't know that they use that type of straitjacket any longer. I mean, he called it, you know, he said in his statement that they, you know, instead of treating me, they put me in a straitjacket. But I do think it was restraints. I mean, for sure, he was tied to the bed.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Strange case here from England. Middle-aged gentleman with plenty of money is suing Apple after his wife found a lot of text messages that he sent to hookers. Now, he had cheated on his wife with prostitutes, but he deleted all those texts he sent to those hookers, and she wound up finding them not on his iPhone, but on their desktop computer that the two of them found, and now filed for divorce right after she found those text messages. So apparently his legal bills and the settlement and the divorce cost him over $6 million, $6.3 million. So when he went to Apple and said, hey, I deleted those texts now. That's
how come she finding deleted messages?
This is on a different machine over here. This is on our desktop computer. And Apple said, yeah, you share that, so the text messages go there.
Isn't that wonderful?
Well, he said, no, it's not. Nobody told me. You know, I got rid of them on the phone, and I was happily married. And if she hadn't found these text messages, I'd still be happily married and have more than $6 million in my pocket.
And seeing prostitutes on the side.
You're on the same account.
That's right. He's on the same account. Now, what I will say is that Apple doesn't give you any paperwork. There's no little manual that comes along with it.
They know better. They've learned.
Right. So, Lisa, does this man have a case, the cheater in London?
Now, I don't think he has a case because, you know, when you put, like, when he went to set up his iMac computer that had these text messages, he had to opt in to allow those messages to be on there. Oh. So he had to make a conscious decision to put them on there. And even though they don't give you a manual about this or anything, or, you know, any kind of booklet, there is a disclaimer that when you're setting up your Apple account, there's this huge disclaimer that nobody reads. And I'm sure it probably mentions that, or, you know, it for sure is something that, I mean, he should have thought of, because I think anybody knows that has Apple devices that deleting them on one device doesn't delete them from another device. So
it's a little strange.
It's pretty obvious.
If you were to delete the messages, let's say it went the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say he had the messages on his desktop and deleted them there. Would they still be on his phone?
Yeah. I mean, it stays on the other device. If you've loaded it, because it's downloaded that message to that device, and you've got to remove it from that device.
Interesting.
You know, but like, we have email here through Google, and I don't know how we did it, how we set it up, but when I delete them off my phone, they're gone from the computer as well.
Yep.
You know, they go away.
That's right.
Same.
Yeah. I think Google just operates differently than
Well, Apple. I like that. I like that they're gone.
When it's gone, it's gone.
I mean, I don't want to have to delete it twice, you know?
No, it's still in your trash bin.
Yeah, yeah.
You can go get it and retrieve it.
Exactly.
If you need it.
But once you get it off your inbox.
Empty your trash.
Yeah, well, right.
Once you empty your trash.
Yeah, I do occasionally. But once you get it off your inbox, I don't want to see it again.
No.
You know? One more quick case, and this is from Netflix. They've been sued for $170 million by a Scottish woman. She says that her name is Fiona Harvey. She's the inspiration behind a character in a miniseries called Baby Reindeer on Netflix. It apparently was quite popular.
It's something.
You know about it.
Oh, yeah.
It's good. It's good, but it's hard to watch. I mean, it's very good. But, if you haven't seen it, okay. Don't watch it with your kids. Don't watch it with the kids.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Well, she says that she was there's a resemblance between her and a character called Martha, and that they took real liberties with the character in the show. It was not true to life. So she's suing because now she says she's been defamed because everybody knows it's about her and the script is not true to real life. But they take a lot of liberties like that anyway, right, Lisa?
Yeah, they do. And, you know, I don't think she has a great chance of success, although Netflix has tended, like the NFL, to settle a lot of these cases. I think if they can get out for, you know, a relatively reasonable amount of money. So I don't know if they'll settle with her. But no, she is actually the inspiration for Martha. I think everybody has now acknowledged that.
Mm-hmm.
But one problem that she has is, so Richard Gadd, he's the fellow that it's his true story. He wrote it and he stars in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, I mean, if you haven't seen it, I think it's worth watching, but it is disturbing. But he tried to disguise her. He didn't want to out her. But there were some elements about it that he didn't feel like you could really, like, she's a Scottish lawyer who relocated to Great Britain. And that part of it, she said, made it obvious that it was her. Well, I think there's probably plenty of, you know, I don't think that necessarily
right.
did.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
when she started to hear about it, she went on social media and said, people are asking me if I'm, you know, Martha. So she kind of outed herself, and then that set off a firestorm. Mm. So I think part of the problem for her is that she's the one that really confirmed it and really put it out there. Also, with her claims are defamation and right of publicity. And with defamation, if it's true, you know, then that's a defense. And the bar is really high for a work like this, where they didn't identify her. And they are, you know, it's based on a true story. They're not saying it's 100% factual. So I think she can fail, but they may still settle with her because that's kind of how Netflix rolls.
That's how you do it. You get a little money like that with Netflix or the NFL. Good docket today. That's Lisa Lanier, our official attorney. Have a fantastic week. We're off next week, Lisa. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
All right. Talk to you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you. LanierLawGroup.com if you need her and some legal advice. Two Guys Named Chris Show.